opportunity of fellowship with you and try to draw your attention to a few verses I've been assigned. You know, you don't get many assignments anymore. We used to get an assignment, which you're coming to speak, this is what you're supposed to speak on. No, not that one. No, not that one. No, the last verse. There you go. That's the one. Thanks for the technology. I'm technology challenged. Even with this machine here. I have to call my grandson. And he takes over my computer and pushes it this way and that way. And I don't know what he's doing. Go slower. No, Dad. No, Papa. So I just want you to know how pleased I am to be with you. I guess I've said that, but we've missed the fellowship. We love the fellowship with you all. I'm not talking about the food over here, but just the things of the Lord that excite you and that excite me. And I know you say, oh, no, here he goes again, trying to excite us about spiritual things. Yes, that's right. How many of you going to watch the football game this afternoon? Don't you dare say a loud noise to support your team if you can't say amen and hallelujah for the Lord. I don't want to hear you spouting out about your team if you can't say amen or hallelujah. The Bible says his name is amen, so you better learn his name. And it says you have to learn to say amen at the giving of thanks. I have been assigned Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. If we stop at verse 8, it means that we're stopping in the middle of a sentence. But that's okay. We'll talk about why we're stopping in the middle of the sentence, because I would rather have come for 8 Sundays and given you one verse each Sunday. But that's not what the Sanhedrin says. That's not criticism, okay? That's a word of love. Okay. Ephesians is referred to 3 times in the Bible. The book of Acts, where the church was born, and in the book of Ephesians, where the church was flourishing, and Revelation chapter 2, where the church was dying for lack of love. But it's instructive for us to know that the question in Acts chapter, whatever it is, I can't remember, 19? What chapter is it? I think it's 19, if my memory serves me correctly. My hard drive got a crash a few months ago. But in any case, the emphasis in the book of Acts was, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And so you would assume that because they didn't understand, and Apollos came in and he had to be corrected by Ananias and Sapphira. I knew you would get that one. Priscilla and Aquila. Just thought I'd check it out. Anyway, Priscilla and Aquila taught him more fully the way, okay? So what is interesting is that the Holy Spirit is found in Acts, where the church was born. 12 times in the book of Ephesians we have the Holy Spirit. And in the end, the fruit of the Holy Spirit was missing in the assembly. And so you can link these 3 together. And here we are in the middle one. I assume that you've done a study through the book of Acts and you know what's happening. But if you haven't, take the Super Bowl halftime and read through the book of Ephesians. It'll do you more good than the scantily clad girls that are going to be showing their skin. So we are in the book of Ephesians, and it was written to the church at Ephesus. And there are 12 times the Holy Spirit is mentioned here, and I'd love to look at those things. I'm going to read the first 8 verses because that's what I've been assigned. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Mark the number of times in Christ Jesus, or in Jesus Christ. when you read through the book. And verse 2, grace to you, the word be is in italics. If it isn't in italics in your translation, you don't have a very good translation. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word from is in italics. Blessed be is in italics. I don't have to do that. You understand what I'm saying. But there are many words that are added to that are not in the Greek text. And they're in the italics in the King James, the New King James, the RV, and a few others. But probably your NIV doesn't have italics. And that's a problem. My hope is built on nothing less than Scofield Notes and Scripture Press. I dare not trust the NIV nor even read the Living B. On KJV alone I stand. All other versions come from man. That's not in your hymn book? My hope is built on nothing less. It's got to be in your hymn book. Third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, or every spiritual blessing in heavenlies, or in the heavenly in the heavenlies in Christ, places in italics. According as he hath chosen us, circle us, in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us, circle it, unto the adoption of children or sons by Jesus Christ, to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. I said, to the praise of the glory of his grace. I said it again, to the praise of the glory of his grace, because it's found three times in this chapter. And it's found three times in this chapter for a reason. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Who is the his? Who is the his? The God the Father. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And there's no period there. But we have to stop because that's where the assignment was. What we are saying is to the praise of his glory. We have several hymns, the one you just sang. Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Thanks very much. And there are three references to the Holy Spirit in this song. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What is the song? Glory be to the Father. Glory be to the Son. Glory be to the Holy Spirit. And so you have these three references to the Trinity. Why do we have these three references in songs in the Trinity? Because it comes from this book. Because we have these first division of chapter 1 is to the Father. The second division of this chapter is to the Son. And the third division is to the Holy Spirit. It's the division based upon the idea of that we should be to the praise of his glory. Now, what does that mean? I said this in some church and I was accosted by one of the elders. But it says to us very clearly that we should be to the praise of his glory, that is the Father. That we should be to the praise of his glory, that is the Son. That we should be to the praise of his glory, that is the Holy Spirit. And that is why we have, you can take that off of there, they'll be reading that instead of listening. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful to you for this amazing book. Wow, it just is so thrilling to read these verses, hear the Holy speak to us. It makes us want to shout. It makes us want to just rejoice in the blessings of our salvation and the glory of our Savior. We thank you for turning our attention to Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. May our hearts love it so much that we do what David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. May these words come into our mind, into our heart, into our memory so that we can graze on these, so that we can meditate on them day and night on our bed, and we can think about, oh, what a wonderful salvation we have. Thank you for meeting with us and blessing your word to our hearts as you said you would do through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to say. To think that we have 8 verses and I would like to spend an hour on each of them. It's just this is, where are you grazing? That's where Naomi asked Ruth, where have you been gleaning? And I can remember somebody when I was a kid, you know, trying to grow up and be spiritual and learn the scriptures, and this old man used to come and say, where are you gleaning today, brother? And I didn't know that was what Ruth said, what Naomi said to Ruth. But Naomi was caring for Ruth, and Ruth was out going probably from field to field, trying to find a field where there was still some grain left, and it wasn't all taken up and gone into the granary. And she said, I'll tell you where I've been. And it's the most amazing story. And Ruth explains that Boaz, which she doesn't say, but the amazing place is we have found piles of grain, piles of barley, and they're dropping it for me. And I thought, I could say to you this morning, where are you grazing? Where are you gleaning? And when you glean, when you're gleaning in Ephesians, because have you been here before? Has somebody else gone ahead of you? Of course. You can go to the Bible bookstore and buy a book. You can buy one by one of the Puritans. It's this big on the book of Ephesians. You can get 5 volumes on the book of Ephesians by Frank Lloyd. What's his last name? Not Wright. He's the architect. Anyway, Martin Lloyd-Jones. Sorry, it was close. So we've got 8 verses to look at. And it's astonishing to me. Notice at the end of, in verse 3, spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. That's found 5 times in the book of Ephesians. And I'll just give you the outline so that you can trace it down. Because what are the heavenly places? Let's back up. What book in the Old Testament parallels Ephesians? Any guess? What book in the Old Testament parallels Ephesians? Joshua. Amen! Give him an A. The book of Joshua. Why is that outstanding? Promote him to the top of the class. Because the book of Joshua is the entering of the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. And all the blessings that God had reserved. That's just amazing, brother. Just thrilling to know that somebody's been to Joshua already. But it's a book of the blessings that God provided for the children of Israel. And he retells us in Deuteronomy and a couple of other places, you'll have houses that you didn't build. You have vineyards you didn't plant. You will have rivers. You will have the earlier and latter rain. You'll have the sunshine. And you'll have everything. You know, this is your inheritance. And Ephesians is the New Testament evidence of that Christian life. That God has given to us every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ. When you read that verse and you learn it, you say, Lord, what can I ask you for? If you have given me all these things, why do I keep asking, give me, Lord? You know, it's like we were in Korea. Korea is one of the most amazing places to eat. Their kimchi is beyond me. But we had 14 different dishes on the plate, on the table. I couldn't believe 14 different dishes that we were supposed to taste. And I thought to myself, you know, here's 14 dishes, meats, you know, and vegetables and everything else. Why would you ask for anything else? Well, if it wasn't Korean, I could say, you know, how about a Wendy's hamburger? Kimchi, oh my, how do they digest that? But 14 different dishes. And here we are with 12 amazing blessings. You know that this verse, that the Father that has blessed us with all spiritual blessings was the reason that I wrote my book called Blessings All Mine with 10,000 Beside. No matter where I went, No matter where I went in the world, even if I couldn't understand the language, I would say, what did he pray? And he would say, he prayed that the Lord would bless the word and bless you and bless this person, bless that person. And I had it up here. And I said, why do we keep asking the Lord for blessing when he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies? And if they're in the heavenlies, that's the book of Joshua. God gave to Israel the land of Canaan, and everything there was to be theirs to enjoy and appreciate and appropriate. And what? How did God say to appropriate it? He said to Abraham, every place, what? The sole of your foot lands. That's yours. And this one too. And that one too. We had the Homesteaders Act in our country. And if you wanted to move west, you could get 160 acres of land. And it was a gift, but you had to develop it. You had to build a house. You had to start a garden. And that is exactly the picture, what is described. These are our blessings. You don't need to ask them for. And so I sat down with my Bible, and I found 500 verses in the New Testament from Romans to Revelation describing the blessings that are mine, that we don't need to say thank you for. 500 verses. And there's only 366 days in a year, so we had to cut down a bunch of them. Grace comes before peace in verse 2. Grace to you and peace. Grace comes first. Grace is a wonderful word. Charis, from which we get our word charismatic. I know you're going to accuse me of being one of them. I'm just excited by who the Lord is and what the Lord has given me. Grace. It's also translated thanks. I come to your house for dinner and you say, would you say grace? So I say grace. And they say, no. We want you to say thanks for the food. So grace is translated grace. It's translated thanks. And so it's three different words. So grace, gifts, come before peace. And if you have the grace of God, the grace that the Lord Jesus Christ brings, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Have you got the grace of God? Of course we do. And we say what? We say thank you. Thank you for the grace. You know, there's three great words that are found here in the book of Ephesians. There's the goodness of God, the grace of God, and the glory of God. I didn't start them all with G. It's just my poor memory that, you know. But the goodness of God is something that he gives to all of us. The rain, yet the rain calls on the just and the unjust. That's the goodness of God. Take a deep breath. If you're lost, it's still a good breath, isn't it? That's the goodness of God. But the grace of God only goes to those who are believers. The goodness of God is for everybody. But the grace of God is just for those who have Christ. And that grace is found in him. In John chapter 1, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus. Of his fullness have we all received, and grace upon grace, and grace instead of grace. The translators don't know how to translate that because it's such an abundance. And so the word grace is there in place of peace. All right, verse 3. Do you want the places where the heavenly places? In chapter 1, 3, and 4, you have the heavenly place. In chapter 1, verses 18 and 20, you have the heavenly person. And you have a heavenly process in chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. You have a heavenly power in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verses 7 to 10, and you have a heavenly problem in chapter 6, verse 12. So if you take those five references, the heavenly, and then the word heavenly places, it's in the King James. Okay? What is amazing in this text is that we do have a reminder of 12 blessings. Some would divide it into 14, but some would just have the idea of these blessings and find 12 of them. And so we're going to list them because I don't have time much more than to list them. But in chapter 1, verses 1 through the end, we have a synthesis of our great salvation. And the description of our salvation is so amazing. You can soak your soul, you can marinate your mind on this chapter, and you can just enjoy it. And you just keep saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. As you just exalt the grace of God and His goodness and all that we have, it's hard to understand, and Ephesians allows it to us. It's made available by a possession. If you go back to this chapter, if we're to understand it, we have the author, who is Paul, an apostle, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He includes us. And this is not just written to the Ephesians, it's written to the church. And many of the New Testament books are, because this is the first of three books regarding the church. If you outline the Bible, New Testament, you have five historical books. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts is a historical book. Then you have Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians, Christ and His cross. And then you have Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, Christ and His church. And then you have 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Christ and His coming. The order is spontaneous. It just makes sense to realize that the first thing that happens after the historical account of the church in the book of Acts is 8 chapters on salvation in the book of Romans. It's a thrilling progression, and you need to stop because he preached the gospel of the kingdom in the book of Acts. But when Romans opens, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And so you see a transition from the gospel of the kingdom in the gospels and the gospel of the kingdom in the book of Acts and the gospel of the grace of God paralleling it in the book of Acts. And then you come to the church, to nine church epistles, and your church and Christ and His cross, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Christ and His church, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Christ and His coming, the Thessalonians. I suppose you went through all of that when you introduced the book. Paul is an apostle. He claims his authority in this book, although he doesn't always claim his authority. But he does claim the idea that he is an apostle and that he has authority by the will of God. It's important for us to realize that Paul could speak with authority because he was giving the will of God. We go to the same book. We go to the same person. We seek to knowledge of the will of God. This is the will of God. And you can make a list. This is the will of God. Even your sanctification. This is the will of God. And he gives us over and over again the response that we need to have. What is God's will for my life? Most people who ask that question keep their Bible closed. Sorry. All the young people come, when you speak to the young people and talk to them about it. I want to know God's will for my life. Where are you grazing? Where are you reading in the Scripture? Well, you know, I'm so busy, I don't have time. That's why you don't know. Because God guides us by His Word. And His Word is instruction. I believe every decision we make, God will guide us if we're reading, meditating, and memorizing the Word of God. I want to be able to reference almost everything in my life to something that God has taught me in His Word. Because that's what the Lord did. How many times did the Lord say, it is written? How many times did He say His Father guided Him in this area? He had to go through Samaria. Why? Because the Father wanted Him to. And our lives have got to be guided by this book. And so you have these wonderful messages. The blessing is from the Father. Here is an important issue. Every blessing comes from the Father. The Father is the source of every blessing. It starts out with God. Who is God? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Everything that God does, the Father is the source. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of light, James chapter 1. There's no change in Him. So everything that God, when I say God, I'm referring to God, the Trinity. Everything that God does comes from the Father. He's the architect. It comes through the work of the Son. The Lord Jesus accomplished it. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ died to be the Savior of the world. And the Holy Spirit is the one who applies everything that God does. That is the Word of God in front of you. Where did it come from? It came from the Father. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it came to us by the Holy Spirit. And so you have that wonderful explanation. Blessed be the God and Father who has blessed us. Who has blessed us. This is a blessed book. Whenever you open it, the blessing of God is available. He's waiting on you. When I was in school, you know that I monkeyed around. Somebody told me about that this morning. You know, and I had a job settling down. I'm sure I had A, double D, 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 Z, B, whatever it was. And I just thought it was fun to monkey around. And so the teacher would say, "Cousin, sit down." And so I would sit down. She was ready to teach. I wasn't ready to listen. The same thing is true with us. God is ready to teach. We are not ready to listen. When you turn on your radio, do you have to call a radio station and say, "I happen to tune in your program. Would you start broadcasting?" They said, "You foolish boy. We're always broadcasting 24/7. It's your problem to get to us the right connection." The Lord is speaking. You don't have to ask Him to teach you. David did because he didn't have the Holy Spirit like we have. He didn't have the New Testament. There are many things in the Psalms that David had to do, but we don't have to do because we have the Holy Spirit. Go back again with those 12 verses in Ephesians and read the ones that are referring to the Holy Spirit. It will open to you a marvelous picture of the one who lives in you, who is speaking to you, who wants you to listen. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." "Oh, thank you, Lord, for speaking. I'm listening." And so forth. So the audience is to the Ephesian church and to the faithful. Now, when he uses the word faithful, here he uses the word as believing. It's the idea that I am a believer. Not that I'm always holy and saintly, but to the believers in Christ. There is a special reason why we are believers. We are believers because it opens up the truth of the Word of God to my heart. And His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. It's automatic. It's wonderful to know that I can pick up my Bible. I don't suggest you open your Bible and put your finger on a verse. You know, he went out and hanged himself. And so you do it again. Go thou and do likewise. And you do it again. You say, "What's the will of God? What thou doest, do quickly." That's not God's way. People have found amazing verses that way, but that's not God's way. It's by reading through the Word of God and digesting it, memorizing a portion of it, verse, speaking to God and receiving and accepting the truth of God. So come to me now with verse 3. Blessed, or blessed, if you like. Blessed be the God. How blessed is God? He is the giver of every good and every perfect gift. There are only two things that are perfect. One is the Word of God, and of course, one is the Word of God. One, the Word of God living, because the Son came forth from the Father. The Word of God, it comes under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, but it's about Christ. And when we see Christ, we will be encouraged and strengthened and challenged and conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the measure of the blessing is every and all. What do you need? What do we need? I'm not talking about greed. I'm talking about need. What do we need? God has promised to supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The difficulty is trying to find God promising me a BMW. I'm sorry if you have a BMW or a Cadillac or something like that. My Rolls Royce out there is the result of selling a few books. Well, The book, oh, the book, yes, it's written on the basis of these texts. Blessed, blessed, and I am blessed, and I am blessed because He's blessed me. He's blessed me. Everything is available to the Father. Everything is available through the Son. Everything is available by the Holy Spirit. And how can we say, Lord, you know, I need this and this and this? Most of our prayer requests are to get out of situations God's put us in. God's put us in. We were in an assembly and they had 34 different things on the prayer list. 29 or 30 of them were to get rid of cancer and get rid of this disease and get rid of that and the other, find a job. And I thought to myself, isn't there anybody in this assembly that needs to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Can we not put in our long list of prayer requests that brother so-and-so would grow in grace and in the knowledge, grow up into the fullness of Christ? Is there not somebody in our assembly who is dealing with the issue that we can pray for that person that they would accept, enjoy, appreciate, appropriate some resource that Christ gives in order that I would become more like Christ? Surely. But no. 30 of them had to do with, you know, some disease. And the other four, I can't remember what they were. How did we get these blessings? We got them through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The death and resurrection, the means by which, the marvel by which we have them. If Jesus Christ had not died and raised from the grave, we wouldn't have these blessings. We wouldn't have any salvation. We've got to exalt. I was so thrilled this morning in somebody's prayer. He meant over and over again about the resurrection of Christ. We should not celebrate the Lord's Supper without stopping somewhere along the way and say, yes, He's alive. Because if He's not alive, we have nothing. We are not like, we're no different than Christian Science with Mary Baker, Patterson, Glover, Eddy. We're not like anybody, we're not different from anybody else whose leader is dead. It's the death and resurrection of Christ that have bought all of these treasures for us. And where has God put them? He has put them in Christ. He has put them in Christ. And over again in these epistles, we have in Christ, in Him, in whom, time after time after time, to train us that if you have Christ, you have all of these things. You have all of these blessings. You don't have any more than I have. I wrote the book, but I didn't in any place suggest that I've got them and you don't have them. They're available to anybody who believes. Do we accept the riches? Most of us in our physical thing, we dress as if we were a millionaire. But spiritually, we dress as if we were paupers, when in fact we are millionaires in Christ. I've only got a couple minutes left. That's terrible. All right, here they are. No explanation. Here are the, in verse 4, He's chosen us in Christ. Chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. How does that work? My question is answered by asking you. If your grandfather died at the age of 4, you getting it? Are you getting it? Only 2 or 3 of you have got it. If your grandfather died at the age of 4, who else died? You did. Because you were in your grandfather. That's a biblical, don't laugh, that's a biblical principle. The book of Hebrews says that Levi paid tithes in Abraham. That almost makes you laugh when you read that verse. And that Levi, his great-grandson, paid tithes in his great-grandfather when Melchizedek was there and they gave some money to him. I was in Christ. When did He put me in Christ? I don't know. You tell me. But somehow, some way, I was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. He thought of me by putting me in Christ. I don't like that hymn. He thought of me before everybody else. I think there's a lot of baloney where that chorus came from. He thought of me before anything. No. He thought of me before Israel. That's all I know. He chose me in Christ before the foundation. And if my grandfather died at the age of 4, then I knew my grandfather. Then what happened? I was in Christ. He died, and what happened to him? He was raised from the grave. I was in Christ when he died. I was in Christ when he was raised. Because if your grandfather was raised from the grave at the age of 5, who was raised? You were to walk in newness of life. What kind of life? The new life of your grandfather. Amen? Yeah, I thought so. In verse 5, I am predestinated. The word predestinated means to plan the end. Not how I get there, but what is the end. And he has predestined, and I'm going to use the word, you're not going to like it, he has predestined the lost, as well as to say, not how they got there, but the end of them. They are there because of the choice they made, either to believe the gospel or not. But he says to us, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children or sons by Jesus Christ. He brought us into a family, and we are full-grown sons. And the third one in verse 6, we are accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted. How is it that we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand? It's because we're accepted in Christ. You know the story of Todd Lincoln, who had a friend of his and brought him to the door of the White House and walked in. Todd walked in with his friend and walked right past the guards with his friend and then walked into the door of the Oval Office and walked in and opened it up and he walked in. And the little friend was a little bit concerned about coming into Abraham Lincoln's presence as the President of the United States. And Todd says, okay, he's my dad. You know, we are accepted in the Beloved, in Christ. Is Christ accepted God? Yes! I am accepted because he's accepted. I have nothing in myself. I have no grace or no goodness, nothing to present. I am in Christ. I have been in Christ permanently. And I'm accepted in the Beloved. What a wonderful place. And number 7, verse 7, redemption. Oh, that's a wonderful word. It means to buy, pay a price and set free. It's a wonderful word. It's one of the three great words that are attached to the cross. When you go to the cross, you have redemption from sin. You have reconciliation of a man. And you have propitiation of God. Remember those three words. They're worth 50 cents each. Redemption from sin. Propitiation, satisfaction of God. Reconciliation, thoroughly changing man. And that is built into that word in that thought. And then forgiveness. I don't have time to. Forgiveness means to send away. And it comes to us from Leviticus and the sin offering, and one goat had the sins of Israel, and it was sent away by a special man into the wilderness, never to come back again. That's forgiveness. But he came back, and he came back without sin unto salvation. Okay, and then the last one, which is wisdom, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Where is wisdom? Where's the wisdom of this world? It's in the universities. And you send your son off, your daughter off to university, and they come back and they don't believe anything because they've swallowed the wisdom of this world. And the wisdom of this world is earthly, sensual, devilish. Those are the three enemies. Earthly, the world, sensual, the flesh, and devilish. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, easy to be to read, full of good works. He is the personification of wisdom. So I hope that you have an appetite for first 8 verses of Ephesians. Does the door open? No. Would you think we should say thank you? Let's do it. Father, we are thankful to you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. They are more than we can number. They're more than the hairs on our head. But we thank you that as we soak our soul and marinate our mind in your word, you give to us a litany of blessings, verse after verse after verse. Some of the most profound thoughts we have just passed over this morning as we try to understand how great is our Savior, how glorious is our salvation. May we have a wonderful appetite, bigger and greater than the appetite for a meal this noon. May we be hungry for the knowledge of the Holy One, and may we hunger and thirst after righteousness. You have blessed us immeasurably, eternally, in all that you have given to us, and we want to set aside our begging spirits and produce the thanksgiving that is right for us as we consider what you have done in giving us Christ. You have blessed us, and we offer you our thanks in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Your turn. Amen.